Today's shiur is daf kuf mem tes. We're going to begin on daf kuf mem ches on the base at the bottom of the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah. Mein adam es orchov mas paparos mipiv. The Mishnah teaches us a din, which is not such a well-known din. The halacha is that if you have guest Shabbos yontif, you're allowed to count your guest or the portions mipiv by heart. You're not allowed to look at a piece of paper. So if you have, we're coming up to the Yontif season, people have a number of days Yontif with a number of meals, with a number of guests, you're not allowed to have a piece of paper with the menus and the guests and everything in front of you. Another, and we'll discuss in the Gemara why. Mappas Adam in Bonav Bnei Beis El Shulchan. A person could make a lottery on his at the table with his family with the portions, that everybody wants the same piece of meat, so they can make a lottery who's going to get that one. However, says the Mishnah, and we'll see if that's shot in the Gemara, what you're not allowed to do is identify through this geyrel, through this lottery, that somebody's going to end up with a bigger portion. It's only that there are a bunch of portions that seemingly are the same, and we want to decide who should get which. Another halacha, matilin chaloshim al kotshim b'yontif, the kahanim are allowed to make a lottery on yontif with the kabonis, avloy al amonis, not for the monos. What monos mean, we'll explain in the Gemara. So the way the Mefarshim explained the Mishnah is as follows. We know that the kahanim were divided into mishmairis. Every week a different mishma worked. So that was a pretty small group, and everybody, there was enough for everybody. But when it came Yontif, there were no mishmairis. All kahanim had the right to work, to do the avoida. Since all kahanim had the right to do the avoida, it's a very large crowd of kahanim, and they all want a portion, and there may not be enough for everybody. So the Mishnah teaches us, "Umatilim chaloshim, we're allowed to have a geyrel on Yontif." So the first thing we learned in the Mishnah was that a person is not allowed to look at a paper on Shabbos Yontif to determine what the menu is, who the guests are. My Tama, why? We're concerned that while looking at the paper, you may come to erase the paper. You'll see that you have too many guests and too little food, and you may erase something, or you may want to change the menu. So because of that, Chazal made exactly now a look at the paper. It's important to note, if anything, I would say that this is the lesson of today's shiur. The lesson of today's shiur is that we can't really always put guidelines to the gzeiris Chazal set forth. For example, this gzeiris Shemi Yimchaik. We know midoraisa, mechika is only a malacha when it's meichik amanas lichsoiv, when you erase with the intention to write. Here there's no intention to rewrite, so we don't have a deraisa de gemechika anyway. Yet, what's the Gemara saying? That you're not allowed to do it. Why? Because Chazal felt that if we're not going to make this gzeira, then people are going to do mechika deraisa, even if they're not going to do it in this specific situation. Abaye Omer, Abaye says, gzeira shem yikra b'shtar ajoitus. You know why you're not allowed to have such a piece of paper? Because it may come to reach shtar ajoitus. What shtar ajoitus are? So Tosfos says that here Rashi says shtar ajoitus are business documents. Before Rashi said, and Daf Kuf Yud Zayin reminds us, Tosfos, that it's just social letters. So basically includes both any type of document. And there's an Isser, again, Isser Drabonon, to reach shtar ajoitus in Shabbos. Why is there an Isser to reach shtar ajoitus? Few reasons. First of all, Pasuk that we're going to be speaking about a lot in the next couple of days. Mimtzoi cheftzucha v'dab bedover. Chafetzecha asurim. That in Shabbos you're supposed to be busy with cheftzei shemayim, with ruchnius. So Chazal told us we don't want you to read shtarei adyoitis. Again, what's the question? If this is only a gzeira, if the whole is of shtarei adyoitis is only drabonin, and here we're making a gzeira that you may come to read shtarei adyoitis. So why are we making gzeiras? Again, as I said a moment ago, gzeiras Chazal, we don't always figure out when Chazal felt the gzeira is required and when they felt the gzeira is not required. Other reasons why Paiskim say Shtar, why the Mefarshim say Shtar Ejoitus is also, it's like Muksa. Because since you can't use a business document on Shabbos, so it's like Muksa. It's something you shouldn't have anything to do with. So now we have two reasons why you're not allowed to read out of this document. Either because Gzeru Shem Yimchaik or Gzeru Shem Yikr B'Shtar Ejoitus. Ask the Maramai B'nai, what's the practical difference between these two Pshatim? Answers the Gemara, Ikka B'nai, the cost of a Kaisel Amidli. It's on the wall, but it's low on the wall. Lamanda Amar Shem Yimchaik, according to Lamanda Amar, that you're worried that he's going to raise it like Shinan. We're not concerned that he's going to raise something from the wall. That it's high up on the wall, we're not concerned he's going to erase it. However, the man damas shami yikra, that the concern is that he's going to come reach Shtar Ejoitus, chashinan, just like he may read this, he may come to read that. Ask the Gemara, ulaman damas shami yimchaik. Yes, according to man damas that has the gzer shami yimchaik, when it's high up on the wall, I don't have to worry you're going to erase it. But the other concern is a legitimate concern. Why not nechay shami yikra? That the person may come to reach Shtar Ejoitus if I allow him to read this. And continues the Gemara, V'su, L'shem Limch Leichashinan, what are you telling me? It depends where it's written. If it's written on a piece of paper, I'm worried he's going to erase it. If it's written low on the wall, I'm worried he's going to erase it. If it's written high on the wall, I'm not worried. Ask the Gemara of Atanya. We learned the Gemara, beginning in the Masech, the Dafir Aleph. The Aloch is on Shabbos, Lo Yikra Lo Araner. A person is not allowed to read by candlelight. Why? As we learned, Shemayata, he may tilt the wick, which is Issa Havara. Vama Rabba, and Rabba said that this rule applies, even if the candelabra with the candles is two kaimas high, two stories high, it was the size of a saddle of a donkey, which they used to use as a measurement, it's 10 stories high. There's no way that a person could easily reach this candelabra. The loch is la yikra. Why? Because when Chazal make a gzeira, they make a flat gzeira, without exception. So back here, you're telling me, when it's on a piece of paper, I'm worried. When it's high up, when it's low, I'm worried. When it's not high, when it's high, I'm not worried. Says the Gemara, Elik benayu, the nafkamina is, the ikka akos, the kosva kosel, it's on the wall, however, midly, mitzi. It's slow on the wall. What do you mean? L'mandama shemi yikra. When, because I'm concerned that you may read l'mandama shemi yimchaik. According to mandama, that you're concerned that he may erase it. Chashinan. That's a legitimate concern. L'mandama shemi yikra. But according to mandama, that says if you're going to look at this piece of paper, you may read Shtar Ejoitus. We don't have to be concerned. Why? Because Guda Bishtara Loi Michlef. Nobody's going to confuse a piece of paper with a wall. Ask Taisvis if that's the point, that nobody's going to confuse a piece of paper with a wall. So then what does it have to be? What does the Gemara have to say that's talking about it's low on the wall? It could be even high on the wall. The Gemara says, Elik Menai, the cost of a Kaisel Umitzi. It's on the wall and low on the wall. And if it's high on the wall, it's also no concern. So I saw beautiful teretz from the Mefarshim. You're right. It makes no difference if it's low on the wall and high on the wall. What the Gemara is trying to point out is as follows. I might think that if it's low on the wall, that will be confused with a paper. Only something that's high in the wall won't be confused with the paper. Says the Gemara, no, a wall and a paper, nobody's going to confuse. So therefore, if the entire concern is Shema Yimchaik, it should be Mutter. Ask the Gemara. Good. There is no concern of Shema Yikra. But why isn't this man the Amr Choshesh Lema Shema Yimchaik? He should be concerned that we will erase it. And because of that concern, that should be the reason it should be us to read it when it's on the wall. Answers the Gemara, El Kamanayu, the Chayik Atavlo Pinkas. It's not written on a wall, it's not written anywhere. It's engraved on a tablet. Leman Dama Shema Yimchaik Lechashinen. Because erasing is only possible on the written word, something written with ink. Here it's not written with ink, it's engraved. L'manda Amar, Shema Yikra Chashinan. But according to Manda Amar, that you may come to reach Shtar Ejoitus, that is a real legitimate concern. Ask the Gemara, L'manda Amar, Shema Yimchaik. According to Manda Amar, similar question as we had. Leicha Shema Yikra. Just like Yes, we don't have to worry that he's going to come to a race because it's an engraved tablet. But why aren't we concerned that he's going to come to reach Torah Hejoitus? Ask the Gemara. What are you going to say? Tablet be pinkas b'shtar lo michlef. Everybody realizes that there's a difference between a tablet and a piece of paper. Ask the Gemara v'tanya. It says in a braisa, moina adam kam b'fnim kam b'chutz. A person, they didn't have such big dining rooms. So some people sat in the dining room and some people sat on the porch. So you could count who's going to sit. You could make seating arrangements.
Like a restaurant.
Who's going to sit? Who's going to sit inside and who's going to sit outdoors? Kama manas osul anichlof neim. And what's going to be the menu? Miksav shal gaba koisel. Strictly from writing on the wall. Avalai miksav shal gaba tavlan pinkas. Not for something written on a tablet. Now ask the Gemara. Let's analyze this brisa. Hey chidami, what is the case talking about? That it's actually written, not just engraved. If it's actually written, we should always be concerned, like Tosfos explains, that Shema Yimchai, that it'll come to erase the written word. Elav, what's the case? The Chayik, that's engraved. Yet, what does the Braisa tell us? Did you only let a rook at the what's on the wall, Avaloi Miksav Shagaba Tavlan Pinkas. Even though it's on the Tavlan Pinkas, we still don't let you read it, even though it's only engraved. So we go back to the beginning, the first hertz. El Oilam Nakosva Kaisal Midli. It's written on the wall, and it's high up on the wall. What was the question that we asked? The question that we asked was, yes, that even if it's high on the wall, we shouldn't be concerned of Shema Yimchaik. But the Gemara's question was that we have Rabbah's rule that he taught us back on Daf Yud Aleph, that once Chazal make a Gzeira, that Gzeira stands under all circumstances. Just like they said Shema Yata, you're not allowed to read by a candle. It makes no difference where the candelabra is. So why are you telling me it makes a difference if it's high on the wall or low on the wall? Or the Kashlach Rabbah, you asked me how can we make a differentiation between something high on the wall or low on the wall? Don't we have a rule like plug that Chazal's Gzeiros are consistent, says the Gemara, the Rabbah Tanaihi. That rule, the Rabbah said, that Gzeiros Chazal are consistent, is really a Machloikas Tanoim. The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Mana Adam is Orchves Peperois Mepiv, a person could figure out his menu, his guest, by heart, Avaloi Menexav, not from a piece of paper. Rabbi Acha Mat Mexav Shagaba Kaisel. Rabbi Acha says you could take it off if it's written on the wall. Now the question is, hey Chidami, what exactly is the case? Ilema the kasa matasa, if it's written low on the wall, Salaych Hashem Yimchak, why are we concerned that somebody's going to erase it? Elav, what's the case? The kasa v'midli, that it's high on the wall. And that's the machlaikis, v'shma menah, the rabbi tanahi. The mandam that says you can read it when it's high on the wall, says that Chazal's gzeiros don't have to be all-encompassing. They can make a gzera on the bottom of the wall that won't apply to the top of the wall. And the other mandam says, no, if Chazal made a gzera on the wall, it's one gzera, we don't differentiate areas. But like I said before, and this is what I think is the lesson of this sugya. The lesson here is we can't figure out gzera's Chazal. Because there's a kash in the Mefarshim. The Mefarshim said, why don't we say a nafkamina that if there are more than one person at the table? We've learned back by Shema Yata. What's the halacha b'la yikra la'ar ner? So we learned the Gemara says that only one person is not allowed to read by candle. But if you have more than one person, we're not concerned with certain conditions that we're reading out of the same book. Why? Because one will remind the other. Why didn't the Gemara say this teretz here? And we just used the concept of a number of people the other day by carrying the wet towel. We said that if 10 people carry the wet towel, it's mutter. Why? Because one will remind the other one not to do schita. So why over here don't we say such a teretz? Or why don't we say another teretz from the Farshim say that there maybe should be a nafkamina if it's ledvar mitzvah or not ledvar mitzvah? By ledvar mitzvah would be more mekel. We don't see that the Gemara should say this terutzim. Why? Because this is a gzeiros chazal. The chazal said you're not allowed to read out of a piece of paper. And they didn't say, and they felt that this was such a strong concern, Shema Yimchaik, Shema Yikra B'shtari Ajaitis, that we can't start saying, well, when there's more than one person, we'll be Mekel, or when it's a Dvar Mitzvah, we'll be Mekel. Chazal made this Gezerah, and they felt that this Gezerah requires to be stronger, maybe, than other Gezerahs. And this is the halacha. It's in Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to read from a piece of paper. You'll have to tell this to your wives on Yontif. You can't have a cheshbon on a piece of paper who's coming and who's eating and what you're serving. The only heter that I found, which wouldn't really work in a person's private home generally, is for waiters. A waiter is, the Shari Tshuva says that a waiter is allowed to look at a piece of paper. Why? Because by private individual, we're concerned Shem Yimchak. Somebody in their own home is concerned that if they're going to look at this piece of paper, so we're concerned that they're going to start racing it because they're worried that they don't have enough to eat or whatever. The waiter is doing his job. He doesn't have any personal investment into this. And that's why the Chari Tshuva says that a waiter, we could be more makel. Ask the Gemara. Says the Gemara. V'hani tanoi, kani tanoi. This machlokes that we just saw, Ag Zeilis Chazal, all-encompassing under all circumstances, we have another place, this machlokes. The Tanya, Ein roim b'mar b'shabbos. You're not allowed to look into a mirror on Shabbos. Ramei matter b'mar ha'kavu b'kaisal. He says, a mirror that's attached to the wall is mutter. Maishna ha'kavu b'kaisal. Why you're not allowed to look, why Ramei differentiate between a mirror that's attached to the wall versus a mirror that's not attached to the wall? Because ad hach v'hotcha mitker. Why are you not allowed to look at a mirror? The reason you're not allowed to look into a mirror, as we'll see in the Gemara in a moment, is because if you look into the mirror, you'll see that you have a hair out of place, and their mirror was made out of metal, it was sharp. You'll take the mirror and cut, use it as a cutting implement to cut your hair. So Mashna kvu b'kaisel, why are you allowed to look into a mirror that's in the wall? Ad hach v'hotcha mitker. Till you'll take the mirror off the wall to cut your hair, you remember Shabbos. Shein kavu nami. So ask the Gemara, even by a mirror that's not kavu, ad hach v'hach mitker, until you go get the scissor, you'll remember Shabbos. Says the Gemara, hach v'mar shel matches. We're talking about a metal mirror. Ukrav nachm amr v'avua. Why are you not allowed to look into a marital mirror on Shabbos? A person may use it to cut off his hair, but the mirror itself. So the Tanakham said, once Chazal made a gzera on mirrors, they don't make a difference if it's kavua or not kavua. They made a gzera under all circumstances. Ramea says, no, we look at the circumstances. In a mirror that's not kavua, it makes sense to make the gzeira. In a mirror that's attached to the wall, it doesn't make sense that we didn't make the gzeira. Why do we look into the mirror? So Mefarshim say, because the gzeira was only said on a marish shel matches, on a metal mirror. In a metal mirror, you could use it as a cutting instrument. But our mirrors are made out of glass. People are not likely to use glass to cut hair, and that's why we look into mirror. Here's a shtickle raya, the Mefarshim say, that a person's allowed to look in a mirror. There's a shayla in the Paiskim, if a man is allowed to look into a mirror because of La Yilbash. And here you see, some want to say it's talking about the women. But maybe a raya that a man is allowed to look into a mirror. Tana Abonim. Ksav hamahalach tachsa tzura. When you look at pictures, they have a caption under the picture, or the tachas duyuknos, or reenactment, like a statue. You have like a little inscription on the bottom describing what this is. Osla Christ of Shabbos. You're not allowed to look at it on Shabbos. Why? Because of Gzera of Shtori Hejoitis. That we learned on top of Amid, you're not allowed to look at Shtori Hejoitis. Says the Gemara that these captions are included in that. There's a Machloikas Rishonim. What's the halacha regarding looking at secular books on Shabbos? The Ramban is Mekel, the Rambam is Machmer. V'nikna Atma, what about the statue itself or the picture itself? Af b'chol asur, l'stakabo. Even during the week you're not allowed to look at it. Why? Mishum shenemar, al tifnu el alilim. What does that mean? My Talmud, Amar Avd Chanan, al tifnu el midatchem. So the Rashi explains it like this. These statues and these pictures were Avodah Zarah. Al tifnu el, don't look at midatchem, something that was created man-made, midatchem, that was created by your intellect, that you created. You're not allowed to believe in something that's man-made. We have to believe in God. Another pshat, the Ran says, al tifnu keil, you're not allowed to take HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of datchem. The halach is shvisi Hashem l'negdei samid. We have to think about Hashem all the time. By looking at these other things, we're taking Hashem out of our mind. So Tosfos already asked the question, how can we go to a museum? If you're not allowed to look at pictures, the Gemara says, "Duyukna v'tsura asur." So how can you look at a museum? So Tosfos says that the Gemara is only referring to something that was made l'shem avodah zarah. But if there's a nice painting that just represents something that happened historically, or some other painting, that is not also to look at. Tosfos says a gval de garaya. Tosfos says there's a Gemara masechta avodah zarah. The Gemara masechta avodah zarah calls Rabbi Nachman ben Samoy benon shel kedoshim. Why was he a benon shel kedoshim? He never looked at money because money had engravings on it. If no one's allowed to look at engraving, what makes him so special? It means that we are allowed to. He was extra machmer and he didn't look at money either. And the two interesting tshuvas that I saw by Ramosha. Ramosha has a tshuva to a public school teacher who has to teach history. And part of the curriculum is to teach about ancient religions. So is he allowed to teach that lesson? So he says again, since the point of teaching that is not in any way to teach the religion, it's just to teach the history of what the world looked like. If anything, people may say reject it. Who would serve Avodah Zarah? Who would do pagan service nowadays? So Moshe says that you're allowed to teach those lessons if the textbooks are just textbooks that quote the history. Moshe has another tshuva. Are you allowed to be a stamp collector? A lot of the stamps have pictures of crosses, of churches, of different things like that. Are you allowed to collect those stamps? So again, he says, the purpose of the stamp is not Avodah Zarah. If anything, that's used to mail a letter. It's not to be an Avodah Zarah, and you're allowed to collect those kinds of stamps. So we learned in the Mishnah, Mappus Adam and Bonab. A person could draw a lottery with his children over the portions. So the Mars in Bonavim Nebesayin with his family, Vim Achaloi. But people who are not part of the family, not. My Tama, why? If you have a group of people that are eating together, but they don't get along so perfectly. So when they're dividing the portions, over Mishamida, you know, everybody's careful. You shouldn't get more than me, so they could come to measure.
That's the Kepeda.
That's why it's usher to do this on Shabbos, because they'll do midah. You're not allowed to measure on Shabbos. Or Mishamishko, they may come to weigh, and Shabbos you're not allowed to weigh, and they're going to weigh to make sure that one person didn't get an ounce more than the next person. Or Mishaminyan, you're not allowed to total something up, also only with Tzarek Mitzvah. Or Mishamlovin Apirin Beyontif. You're going back to what we learned yesterday, that you're not allowed to borrow or repay only with certain restrictions that these people will not necessarily follow. Ukedivrei Hillel, and according to Hillel's version, there could be af mushum ribis. What does that mean? We're not going to learn Hilchos Ribis today. We'll wait for Masechta Bava Metzia. But what this means is like this: when we know when you borrow something for somebody else, you're not allowed to repay him more. That's you're not allowed to pay interest. But let's say I borrow a cup of milk from my neighbor. I need to borrow a cup of milk. So the halacha is, I'm allowed to return the cup of milk. Maybe if I borrowed it today, and by the time I return it tomorrow, the price went up. So the halacha is that that's not called ribbis. First of all, it wasn't something that was predetermined. So you certainly don't have a deraisa ribbis, because ribbis, the rice has to be katsutsa, that they made up a rate of return. And it's also not even midrabanan, because it's not what we intended. I borrowed a cup of milk, I returned a cup of milk, you borrow for me. But if you have people on makbid themselves there, that they're careful, so then if everybody's watching, so if I borrowed from you a cup of milk and it cost a quarter and tomorrow it costs 30 cents, that could be ribbis. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, so why in your family are you allowed to draw lots? All these isurim could be in the family too. The piece, one child may be getting a bigger piece than the next. Answers the Gemara, you know why by family it's fine? Because something Rabbi Yehuda Merav said in Masechta Bava Metzia. Rabbi Yehuda Merav, muta la adam lahavos bonav b'nei beisa b'ribis, kidei la timam tam ribis. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is like this. Rashi says that even though there's an isser to lend money on ribis, a father is allowed to lend money to his children with interest. Why? Because like that he teaches them. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us that interest is asur? Because interest, like the Pasuk calls it, is neshach. It's like a snake bite. It just really eats you up. high interest rate. Here too, the father lends his money to the children. They have to pay back with interest. They see what interest could do to a person, and in its chinuch, that's how they won't lend money in their private lives as they go on with life with ribbis. Now, why is that mutter? Ribbis is usser. It's usser. Why did the Rabbi Yehuda ben Rav say you could lend money to your children with ribbis? Because since it's part of the same family, we'll say they're not makbid, because at the end of the day, it's the father and the children, it's really all one pot anyway. That's why even though ribbis is normally usser, here it's mutter. So just like Rav said you're allowed to lend money to your family with ribbis, so too he'll say you could give portions, even if the portions won't be exact, and you may have all these problems, but because generally in a family we're not makbid, that's why the Mishnah says by your family you could be makel.
You don't know Rav should say mitzvah.
It's not mitzvah. Now, there's another pshat in the Gemara. The other Rishonim say pshat just the opposite. They say a father's allowed to borrow money from his children on ribbis. Why is a father allowed to borrow money from his children on ribbis? There's no chinuch. The chinuch is to teach your children the value of money. Sometimes children like, you know, we all have children, like to spend money. So, and then they have nothing left. But if you'll borrow from your child in ribbis, and you show that if you invest your money, it can make more money, so that's also, so again, you have the same concept, it's ribbis, but it's mutter, because they're not makbin and shechinach. Right, that's how Rashi learns, but he'll have us could go either way. If the point is, as we just explained, because it's all one family, and they're not really makbid, that's why we can make lotteries. So then why does the Mishnah say that it's only if all the portions are the same size? Even if they're not the same size, it should be mutter. Answer the Gemara and the Chanami. You're right. This is why you have to learn the Mishnah. A person could draw lots on the table with his family. Even big portions and small portions. Why? Like Rabbi Yehuda and Rav said, but that halacha applies in Banav in Bnei Beisai in strictly with his family in Mecherim Loi, with somebody else not. My Tama, Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel. Like Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel said, because you could come to Midah, Mishkol, Minyan, all these things. Now Mana Gedolah Keneged Mana Ketana. What about big? So what we learned is like this. Big portion, and a family could do whatever you want. Big portions, small portions, same size portions. With not your family, so the same size portions, we're worried that you can be makbid. Now, we go a step further. What about during the week? If the portions are the same, it'll be fine. Because there's no problem to do Midah, Mishkol, Minyan during the week. And that's why if the portions are essentially the same, and we're worried that you're worried that I got an ounce more, and you'll weigh, big deal, you can weigh during the week. However, mana gedoyla keneged mana ketana, if during the week we're not one family, we're not allowed to draw lots even on different dafka, on different size portions. Ma'af b'choyla cherem osar, if we're not one family. Ma'itam mishum kuvya. It's like gambling. What happens? If there are a number of portions on the table, not equal in size, so we're going to start drawing lots, which is really a gamble. I may end up with the bigger portion, and you may end up with the smaller portion. And gambling is awesome. Why is gambling awesome? So some Rishonim say, because it's an asmachta. What does it mean? When somebody enters a business deal under false pretenses, that's not called a kinyan. And we know that for a transaction to have halachic validity, it has to be with a kinyan. Why is there no halach validity? Why is there no kinyan? Because somebody gambles, he only is gambling on the assumption he's going to win. If I knew that I'm going to lose my bet, I would have never bet. So that means I really never gave up the money correctly. There was no kinyan, and that's why kuvya is asur. That's how some mefarshim learn. Other mefarshim say that there is no problem of an asmachta by gambling. Why? Because no matter how confident you are when you enter a bet that you're going to win, everybody who's somewhat intelligent, we're talking about intelligent people, know that you could lose. So the person maybe thinks he has great chances to win excellent chances to win, but he knows in the back of his mind that he may lose. So that's not called an asmachta. So what is the problem with kuvya? One problem is, you might have won my money fair and square, but I didn't give away the money willingly. When somebody loses the bet, he's not happy about giving away his money. That means you got my money not berotzai, not with my willingness.
Even though he knew he
was going to lose, and even though he went in with his eyes wide open. That's not the kind of life that Chazal wants us to live. Another pshat kuvya is simple. Gambling can be addictive. And we don't want people to not be oisik, be yeshuva shel olam. We don't want people to spend their days gambling. We want them to be gainfully productive.
So this is in opposition to creating competition among the students in the class or the children in the family?
I don't know. My tamach, matel and chalshin. Let's go further. We've got to finish the daf. Matel and chalshin. We draw... In the base of Mikdash, we saw the Kohanim could draw lots. May have a loyal amonis, but it said not on the monis. What does that mean? Amar Rav Yaakov, Reider Rav Yaakov, have a loyal amonis shall call beyontov. The kabbonis, which kabbonis are we allowed to draw lots for? For the kabbonis that were geshochten on yontov. But the kabbonis that were geshochten from before yontov, that we have no right to draw lots for. As the Mar Pshita, of course. For yontov, I shechted it today, I couldn't do it before. Why would I think I'm allowed to do what was done yesterday? The Pasuk says that when Klai Yisrael is quarrelsome, they're like Kohanim. Kohanim have a tendency of being quarrelsome. So I would say, since they're quarrelsome, in order to keep the peace, I feel the chol nami, we should allow you to draw lots, even the kabbonis that were shechted yesterday, kamash malon, that no. Chazal's kula only applies to what was geshochten on Yontif.
So what? Kachim.
They get portion to kind of.
Chagiga,
Shlomim, on Yontif. Vam Rav Yaakov, Rei de Bes Yaakov. Kol shchaver nenesh al yadoi, whoever causes that his fellow should be punished, will not be allowed into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's place. So like the way that Ein Yaakov explains it like this: if Reuven did something bad to Shimon, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives an einish to Reuven for that, there's no complaint against Shimon. What the Gemara refers to here is that Reuven asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, Shimon did something wrong to me, and I want you to punish him. That's something that's unacceptable. And if somebody does that, from where we know it. Achav was a Melech Yisrael. Was actually a Russia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to go into battle in Ramos Gilad, and he would fall. But he was a Fruma Russia. So he didn't want to go to battle without asking Nevi'im. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as best as we can understand this Gemara, has a conversation in Shemayim. V'yoyim HaShem, HaShem says, Mi yafates Achav, who will seduce Achav, v'yal, that he should go to battle, v'yipal v'ramas gilad, and he'll fall in Ramas Gilad. V'yoyim HaZebekah, v'Zebekah. So all the various ruchos in Shemayim said, I'll do it this way, v'Zebekah, I'll do it this way. V'yetze ruach v'yam l'fnei HaShem. So then there was a different spirit that stood in front of Hashem. V'yoyim HaNiyaftan, I'll do it. V'yoyim, and he said, Eitzei, I will go out. V'yisi ruach shek b'fikol ha'neviyov, I will say something false. I will cause his prophets to say something false. V'yoyim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Tefata, go do it, go seduce it. V'gam tuchal, you'll be successful. Tzei v'asei kein. V'amrina, and the Gemara explains, my ruach, who was that ruach? Amr Rabbi Yochanan, the ruach shel nevois. It was the ruach of nevois. Amay tzei, what's pshat when the pasuk says tzei? Amr Rav tzei mechitzasi. Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, even though he did this, now you have to leave my mechitza. Why? Because you were the one that caused somebody else to have a downfall. Even though who was nevois? Nevois Israeli was a person who owned a piece of property, and Achav wanted to get his hands on it. And the voice didn't want to sell. So they put out a libel on him that he was a married Bamalchus. Was that true? And now the voice of Israeli wanted to get revenge. So he wanted to get his revenge. He was the one, his ruach, in the Olam Emes, wanted to get his revenge. And what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're causing another Jew to have a downfall. Save me, Michitzasi. Ask the Gemara, Dilma Hasam Hainatama. You know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to leave? Diksif, Doivish Karim, Loikoin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't stand falsehood. And he was saying something was false.
So even in the service,
even on the service of Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Mefarshim explained, you could be, he could have accomplished it maybe with the truth, not with a lie. So there's a gevalda geshmuz. It's Elo. There's a gevalda geshmuz from Yecheskel Levenstein on this Gemara. He says, look at this, look at what's happening here. This novice Israeli is already in the Olam Ha'emes. He's standing and talking Kavayochel to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but he still has his human foilies. Loyalties in him. He could say a lie, he could try to hurt somebody else. These are all the things that we humans think. So he says, from this Gemara we learn the following. He says, you know, we're under the impression that Achr Meiv Esrim, after a person comes to the Olam Emes, everybody becomes a tzaddik. In this world, there are people that do Averis, but when you come to the Olam Emes, then everybody becomes a tzaddik. They see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they see Gan Eden, they see Gehenim. They become tzaddikim. He says it's not true. The person who is a tzaddik in this world is going to be a tzaddik in the Yenevelt. And the person who is a Rosh in this world stays the same in the next world. He said that's pshat, that you have to prepare yourself in this world for the next world. It's not that everything changes in the next world. It's what you were in this world, that's what you'll be in the next world. And he says, a shtikaraya. He says there were stories with Dibbiks. The Dibbiks came to this world, they said terrible things, Nivelpeh, and they did terrible things. Now, a Divik already left this world. He already saw Gehenim. How could somebody who saw Gehenim do something like that? Because it doesn't change. Whoever, what he was in this world is what he is in the next world. Ella. So we're looking for a pasuk that teaches us that Kol Shechaver Nenesh Al Yodoi Eim Achnis Nenesh B'Mechitzosish Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ella Mahocha. It says a pasuk regarding the Nebuchadnezzar. Savata kolon mekoved, you were satiated with shame versus honor. Shesei gam atav aral. Savata kolon mekoved zeh Nebuchadnezzar, refers to Nebuchadnezzar. Shesei gam atav aral zeh chetzitkiyah. What Nebuchadnezzar used to do, as we'll see in the Gemara, is that he used to sodomize different kings. And Tzidkiyah was one of the kings that he sodomized. And the pasuk is calling him aral. Now, ask the Gemara, Chodu, number one, who call it Krabin of Chutnetzer Ktsiv? Who says the Pasuk is referring to Tzidkiyah? The Pasuk only referring to Chutnetzer. Void, Tzidkiyah Tzidikah may have a Leila Mavdlei. You can't be angry at Tzidkiyah because Nebuchadnezzar sodomized him. He didn't ask for it. Dharmav Yudam Arav. B'shah Shabikis Osh Rosh Las Oysa Tzadikach. When this Rosh, Nebuchadnezzar, wanted to force the Tzadik Tzidkiyah to do this. So what is going, what's wrong? El Mahocha, Gam Anish L'Tzadik L'Toyf. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, it's not good for a Tzadik to cause punishment. Ein L'Toyf, when it says it's not good, it's Ra. A Tzadik who causes somebody else punishment, Ra is bad. There's an interesting Halacha L'Maisa from this Gemara. Here we see that L'Toyf, something not good, means bad. Let's say I sell you something, and I tell you what I'm selling you is not good. So you, and then it turns out to be bad. So you want to come back and tell me, you know, I thought when you meant not good, I meant, you thought it's not good, but it's medium, it's mediocre. I didn't think it was bad. From here you see, when you say not good, it means bad. B'ksiv, k'loi achbait, k'loi kelchof, it's Rasha, ata, you are Hashem, are not one who wants bad, lo yigur chara, tzadik ata, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tzadik, v'lo yoga b'megur chara. Ask the Gemara, my mashma, the high chaloshim, the lushin, the puruhu. Our Gemara kept on using the lushin of chaloshim, which we define as a lottery. Where do we see that chaloshim means a girl? The ksiv, eich nufalt mishamayim, hil ben shacha, negarta l'aretz chayush agoyim. The pasuk again refers to Nebuchadnezzar, and he says that you, Nebuchadnezzar, who was so high, had a mapala, somebody who was chayush agoyim, somebody did lottery on kings. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Barav Huna, Melamed Chayimatul Torah Gedulei Malchus. He used to draw lots on the king. Later, Ezer Ben Yoyim Shemesh Kozacha, who he would sodomize that day. B'ksiv Kol Malchus Goyim Kuloi Nochu. that all the world came to rest after he died. Why? Rabbi Yochanan shenochem mishkav zocher. They no longer had to be concerned that he would sodomize them. As long as Nebuchadnezzar ruled, nobody could be even happy. After he dies, the world subsided, came silent. They broke out in joy. Until now they weren't happy because they had this Nebuchadnezzar, the tyrant, over them. You're not allowed to go into the home of Nebuchadnezzar. The Sirim Yirkadusham. The Kodesh Baruch Hu put Shadim there. So the two Pshatim. One Pshat is, we learned the Masechta Brachas, that where people go, Shadim run away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that there should be Shadim in the Nebuchadnezzar's house. So he doesn't want us to go there, because if we'll go there, the Shadim will run away. Another Pshat is, simpler Pshat. Since there are Shadim, we shouldn't go to a place where there are Shadim. We'll end the Shir with an interesting tshuva that I saw from the Tzemach Tzedek. He asked such a question. He says, somebody hired a worker, and the worker, while doing the job, got hurt, fell, had an accident, and died. So is he in the klal of what we learned in today's Gemara of Kol Shechaver Nenesh Al Yadoi Echnis Naisa B'Mechitzasosh Kodesh Baruch Hu? Because this person hired the worker, and he was doing his job, and while he was doing this job, the person was hurt. Does he have to be concerned that he caused the person tzaris? So he quotes certain achronim. I think he quotes the marshal, another achronim, that say yes. If you were the vehicle, the instrument, through something bad happening to somebody else, you have to do cheshbon nefesh. What happened? But he says that it's not true, that you don't necessarily have to be worried, because he says, number one, because the worker got paid for what he did. It's only an issue if you cause somebody damage when he wasn't getting paid. This person took the job and he was getting paid for it. Furthermore, he said, if it's a situation where the worker did not come, where you didn't go out to seek this person to work for you, this person came to you and asked you for a job, and you were nice enough or kind enough to give him a job, so it's a terrible tragedy if something bad happens to the person, but you can't fault yourself if something happens bad to him. But David should have nothing bad should happen to anybody.